With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Paul, thanks for being with us. First, what's your initial reaction to the news that at 2 o'clock, supposedly Urban Meyer will not only retire from Ohio State, but retire from coaching in general?
Trey, I think the only surprising aspect of this is that it's really not surprising. We've had these conversations for months, and I think from the beginning of his trouble that came out during the Zach Smith situation, you could tell the friction was intense with Urban Meyer and his bosses at Ohio State. That was never more prominent or obvious than the night of the press conference where they announced this three-game suspension. And then it became very clear to anyone watching that he was struggling on the sideline. And I, nor anyone, can accurately guess what's going on with his health issues, although certainly there seem to be some serious problems. Having said all that, I found it very interesting, as I'm sure you guys did, when the university did everything humanly possible a couple of weeks ago to tamp these stories down from the president on down. Everyone denied this, and today it's pretty clear what's going on. So I wouldn't say that he is done for good. Bob Stoops retired and looks like he is done, but Urban Meyer, you know, remember, left University of Florida after the 2010 season to take time off, and he came back and he had a very successful run. So he's still a relatively young man. There's no way to predict that, but certainly if he doesn't come back, he will go down as one of the greatest college football coaches of the modern era.
Urban Meyer, you mentioned young. He's 54 years old, without a question. Young in the coaching professions, could have a number of years left. If you feel, Paul, that he is going to come back, one area he has never been in has been the NFL. Do you feel if he does come back to coach, the odds could be that he could go to the NFL?
I think so. I think his temperament would fit that. He certainly is a great student of the game. But I would have to wonder, however, if college coaching now at two major institutions overwhelmed him, I can only imagine what the NFL would do, because I think you could testify to it better than I could that the NFL is more of a rat race than even college football. College football is mainly recruiting in the off season. The NFL is an endless stream of evaluation and conversation. So I don't think anyone, if you're being objective right now, can guess what he's going to do next. And I think that would include Urban Meyer.
Talking to Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show here on Golic and Wingo, what do you make of the immediate transition to Ryan Day? Because it sounds like there's not going to be a search. He is going to be the guy. He was obviously the interim coach during Urban Meyer's suspension. But Ryan Day now is the Ohio State head coach. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't, based on what we saw the first 3 weeks of the season. Mike, I felt that Ryan Day handled things very well. It was pretty seamless. In fact, they really didn't miss a beat under Ryan Day. If you remember, there was speculation early on that this could happen, and Ryan Day's name was mentioned pretty prominently. Of course, the school, of course, knocked that story down as they had done in almost every incident. So I think the one thing they didn't want was a circus. And you know, every name under the sun being speculated. So I have a feeling this has been in the works for a very long time, and I think it probably made it easier for Urban Meyer to walk away knowing that he was handing the ball off.
Well, listen, that was the situation, as Junior alluded to, with Stoops and Lincoln Riley, and that's certainly done very well for Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. Paul Feinbaum with us from the Paul Feinbaum Show on the SEC Network. Paul, there's really two discussions to have here when we're talking about Urban Meyer. One is on the field. Look, since he got to Ohio State, Only Alabama's winning percentage of 918 is better than Urban Meyer and Ohio State's winning percentage at 904. So strictly from a football perspective, let's sort of put into context, A, what they're losing, and maybe years from now, a couple of years, what someone may be getting if he decides to go back into the waters.
They will be getting the second best coach in the country right now. And I don't think you can argue with that. Certainly there are people moving in that next tier. Lincoln Riley would be under consideration. So would Dabo Sweeney. But I would say over the last 10 to 15 years of college football, the two best coaches have easily been Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. And it's worth remembering that in 2014, when Urban beat Saban for his in the semifinals and ultimately Oregon to win the title, that was his third title. I think at the time, Nick Saban only had four. And it looked like they were going to meet every year for the national championship, and even you could have made an argument on that January day that Urban Meyer had a chance to overtake Saban. That's gone now, of course, even before today's announcement. But I think that just goes to show you the level and the pantheon of greatness that Urban Meyer has been swimming in. I mean, even now, I mean, you look at the last couple of years, he made the playoffs 2 years ago. He missed last year at the number five position. He missed this year at number six. He is one of the most consistent coaches that we have seen in college football. Bad years don't happen. And what's really even more ironic is his 2015 team with Ezekiel Elliott may have been the best team he had at Ohio State, and because of a late season loss at home to Michigan State in the rain, he didn't qualify for the playoffs or for the Big Ten championship. And I think he'll probably always regret that. But there's no denying that he's one of the two or three best coaches of the modern era. And you could make a strong case for three national championships. I mean, he fits in any major wide conversation of top 10 greatest coaches of all time.
Certainly fits in the conversation, as you talked about with Saban, in another regard. Since the 2013 NFL draft, that's the first draft following Meyer's first season at Ohio State, he's had 12 players be taken in the first round, second most of any school behind Nick Saban in Alabama with 15.
Yeah, so they're getting the best players, yeah. And that's part of the deal in college football. But sometimes getting those best players, Paul, can include getting some people that have some questionable baggage. And, you know, this has been a messy season for Ohio State on a lot of levels. It was a messy departure from Florida for Urban Meyer on some levels as well. The health thing was there, but other things were ruminating. So as you see this, do you believe this is an Urban Meyer decision, an Ohio State decision, or some combination of both?
I don't think he was pushed out, but I will say this about Urban Meyer. He's a very bright, smart person, and I think he could sense what was going on and certainly read the tea leaves. And he knows what his relationship was with that president. I think his relationship with Gene Smith is probably better than maybe we have thought, because Gene Smith, the athletic director, has come to his defense. But just remember the body language in August of the president sitting there. They were not looking at each other. They were not communicating. And don't forget, too, that a member of the board of Ohio State ended up resigning in the aftermath because he wanted Urban Meyer fired. He knew all that, and I don't think he ever quite got over the suspension. He never really felt in his mind he had done anything wrong. Even later, 4 or 5 weeks later, in that extraordinary interview with Tom Rinaldi, he still couldn't really admit that he had done anything wrong. He still tried to act like the victim. And I just think it became too much for him. And the health issue is an area that I don't think any of us are really qualified to guess or gauge. And I'm sure that's going to be used prominently. But I think this is easily and clearly a combination of many, many things.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So plenty more, I'm sure, will come out of this. We know the press conference set for 2 p.m. today, so we'll definitely keep an eye out on that. But, Paul, while we've got you here, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the college football playoff that got set on Sunday, the final four teams, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. And we know, Paul, so much consideration for Georgia coming off of that SEC title game where they outplayed Alabama for the majority of the contest. Would you have put them in?
I would have, yes. And I think it was based on the barometer of best teams. And I know that's hard to qualify or quantify. I thought they were one of the three or four best teams in the country, maybe even better than that, maybe as high as three. But I also understand why the committee didn't. I don't think the committee based it on anything other than not wanting to open up Pandora's box. I talked to Bill Hancock yesterday, who runs the college football playoff, and you could tell by his lack of transparency that they were certainly covering something up that went down. I believe that it was razor thin between Georgia and Oklahoma, and that's why they went to the protocol, because they just really didn't want to have to deal with the outrage of the country putting two SEC teams in, especially one that had just lost. I get the whole competition deal, but to me, Georgia would have given the college football playoff more competition than Oklahoma.
Well, the two games we have set, Notre Dame-Clemson at the Cotton Bowl and Oklahoma-Alabama at the Orange Bowl, and we know Alabama's favored by 14, Clemson's favored by 11.5, but Paul, I'm telling you, Oklahoma or Notre Dame will pull off the win. If only one does, which one does it?
I would say it's going to be Notre Dame. I'm not just saying
really?
That because I'm
Paul,
a,
really?
A Notre Dame.
Paul, do you know what you've just done? My life is bad enough. It is a living hell. I am shamrocked to death through the holiday season, and now you do that. You just took away a canteen to a man dying of thirst.
Well, I forgot I was supposed to be truthful here. I really believe that, but I just don't see Oklahoma being able to hang with Alabama. But I think Notre Dame is an unknown team, even undefeated after a 12-0 season. I think they're capable. Clemson, to me, has never looked great this year against the better competition. They really didn't play anyone. Their best game was against Texas A&M, and it took a missed two-point conversion. That's the barometer for me on that.
I like that a lot.
Fine.
Yeah. We really baited him into saying a nice thing about Notre Dame. It was a nice job by you.
How about the Heisman? Who do you think takes it on Saturday?
I think it's going to be Kyler Murray. I think he won it at the wire. I just believed in what, right or wrongly. And I, of course, saw what you did with Pollock earlier about, you know, I can't tell you who I voted for. Yeah. Well, I guess I can't. I can if I want to. But I didn't vote for Kyler Murray, if that indicates he was my second choice, if you want to figure out who my first one was.
There we go. Makes it pretty easy.
Sure
Paul,
does.
How much, and I think that seems to be the overwhelming sentiment at this point, that Kyler Murray won it towards the end. And I know a lot gets made of what Tua did in Alabama's system really popping in a lot of this. I think conversely with that, how much do you think Nick Saban's style of, I'm not going to sit guys, I'm not going to rest guys, we grind these guys down so much physically, how much do you think that the health aspect affected Tua towards the end of the season and thus his Heisman chances?
I think it could have been a factor. And, you know, he was very obstinate about playing him in every game because that's the Nick Saban way. But I think the day of the Citadel game, and forget the 10-10 tie at half, I think it would have been a nice time for Tua to relax and rest and not be grinded. Remember, though, that was Jalen Hurts wasn't available, and I'm sure that played into the mindset. But I think the attrition of the year finally wore him down. And I think it frankly showed up in the game on Saturday against Georgia. The Alabama defense looked tired early on. They were not in focus. And that has been a problem, not every year, but Saban in the years when he has lost that one game, which, again, is a rarity that he loses a game. It's been because he has practiced and worked that team too hard.
All right, so, Paul, you have to make your choice right now. We know you're an SEC guy. You're going to the Alabama-Oklahoma game, or you're going to tailgate with the Golics in Dallas?
I am assigned to Miami, but I never want to turn down a good party, so what do I need to be in Miami for? I'm coming to Dallas, so safely a seat.
That's what I like to hear.
Perhaps the most important question with this, as Paul Feinbaum is here, who's the biggest winner out of this news today? Is it Ryan Day, who inherits an Ohio State program that besides Alabama has been the best in terms of winning
and winning percentage in college football? Is it the future program in a couple of years that we will believe hire Urban Meyer for a third attempt at a national championship run? Or is it Jim Harbaugh?
It's Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is not by nature a happy guy, but I have a feeling he is running around the house in his PJs right now, screaming and hollering and celebrating.
Yeah, drinking milk with steak, probably.
There you go.
Well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he has finally gotten rid of the big bad wolf. He now has a chance to win a game against Ohio State.
The Big Ten has become an infinitely more interesting landscape now with this move. There's no question about that because we can keep the rest of the pieces in place for Ohio State. Ryan Day, kind of like Lincoln Riley, is going to have 1 year to show up and show out. And that if not, those recruiting pipelines are the most important resource in college football. And I'm very interested what it looks like for Ohio State when it's not Urban Meyer walking into that room.
We'll have
anymore.
To see if he loses his quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, who all of a sudden jumped up to 11 on Mel's big board,
right.
But he can go back to school as well. All right, Paul, now the really, really, really important question. It's National Cookie Day. What's your favorite cookie?
It may take me a long time to answer this, but, and guys, don't react too negatively, but I don't eat cookies.
Whoa. All right. Goodbye, Paul.
That's it.
All right, Paul. Thanks.
Nice talking to you.
used to be a friend of the show. Yeah. Now he's just a guy named Paul.
Have fun in Miami, Paul.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Paul.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.